This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on a Tier Tuesday, a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on Jones and Keith. We'll get you a Kiefer Madness at 12:45 before the hour's out. So stay tuned for it with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
I'm great. I had a great podcast with Devin McCourty, covered every single topic you could imagine. And as you guys have seen over the years, he's expansive on stuff. He doesn't duck any of the topics and he goes in depth. So look for that. You're going to like it.
Did you ask Devin at all about Bill Belichick's most recent Instagram photos?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh.
That's
not everything.
In one ear and out the other for me.
Doesn't interest you?
Not in the least.
Got it. I think it's sometimes humorous, though, with the former players that they don't really say much, but they have, like, a look about them when they're asked about it. They just kind of, like, laugh, and then they kind of, like, move on. But, like, you can tell.
Yeah,
you can kind of tell
I
what they're all thinking.
I see why it's entertaining and amusing and stuff to talk about, but it's kind of like weighing in on somebody's home life to an extent, too. So I'm like, yeah. Everybody's different in that regard. I care about the on-field things
That's
and relationships
right.
more so.
All right, let's get down to brass tacks. Yeah. Let's get down to the on-field. Mike Vrabel said in an interview on SiriusXM at the Combine leading into free agency, the Patriots want to add enough players in free agency to go, here's the roster, we can line up and play tomorrow, and then let the draft come to us. Have they delivered on that pledge?
No, they weren't able to. And I think that we all probably, when he said that, understood that that's not going to happen. You're not going to get Ronnie Stanley. You're not going to get Chris Godwin. You're not going to get an edge player. You're not going to get Milton Williams. Well, they did get Milton Williams. But they were not able to even see those guys get to free agency necessarily, like literal free agency where you can have them up for a visit in Ronnie Stanley and Chris Godwin. So it was pie in the sky hope. But I still think, and I'm sure you guys do too as well, that they made hay with what I think was a difficult situation. You guys are probably a little bit more of hanging judges in this regard. But we knew going in it was going to be tough sledding to find those positions because, A, there weren't a lot there. But, B, they wanted to set a high bar for the cultural fits. So that meant passing on some players who might have otherwise been great fits, like Laremy Tunsil, like DK Metcalf. So those priorities, I think, might have down the road, they can make those exceptions, but they really prioritized who they were bringing in this year.
You know, Vrabel did talk about, you know, having to pivot and, you know, look for plan Bs and things like that. And in your mind, why do you think it was Chris Godwin? This is the guy they identified, the receiver they wanted. They had a lot of money offered to Chris Godwin. But at that position specifically, it didn't seem like there was a plan B. Like, there was plan Bs on how to spend the money, but not at wide receiver.
I completely agree with you. I was thinking that yesterday. What was their plan B at wideout? I don't think it was Devontae Adams. Certainly wasn't going to be T. Higgins. Cooper Kupp, as Diana Rossini reported late Thursday, the Patriots weren't really in on it. Now, I don't know if that was Kupp's decision or the Patriots' decision. Metcalf, they pushed away from the table on. I think you're right that the Chris Godwin money went to Carlton Davis, for instance. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, is they were non-starters in terms of conversation at the wide receiver position, which the most important thing to them right now, one of, is making sure that the huddle and atmosphere around Drake May is pristine. They want the most important voice in his ear to be Josh McDaniels, not a wide receiver who just showed up and is going to be here for 2.5 or 3 years, who has his own set of self-interests to serve.
Have they put too much emphasis on that? Like I agree they needed to fix, you know, some of the leadership in the room. You know, as you said in the past, they need to fix their culture within their locker room. So I'm not saying you didn't need to fix any of that. I'm happy they addressed some of it. Have they gone too far with it, though?
I don't know. I honestly don't. It's a great question. It's not a cynical question. It's worth asking because there are talented. Like, I look at DeAndre Hopkins. He's a phenomenal outside receiver. I don't think that he's a nuisance, unless I'm mistaken. Doesn't love practicing. But Vrabel's worked with him in the past, and he had a successful season. So he signs for a pittance in Baltimore. And again, it's hard to convince guys to come here if they don't want to come here because of the situation record-wise that they've had and the age of those players. But it is absolutely worth asking. But it's still 5 months. I wouldn't be stunned if there are, beyond the draft, other wide receivers added. But I think that they're probably of a mind that, look, between McDaniels, the overall tenor of the team, we should improve just by being more organized and better coached.
The report came out that the Patriots view Travis Hunter as the best wide receiver in the draft and the best corner in the draft. So if that's true, I mean, it's a no-brainer pick at number 4, but would there even be consideration of moving up to number 1, moving up in the draft if he's really the best at both of those premier positions?
Spots. What I find really interesting is I have a personal aversion to watching the football team continue to struggle up front. It pisses me off so much on an annual basis because it's been happening for 7 or 8 years. So I'm like sitting there determined. It's like when you have a house and there's one appliance that never gets fixed and you say, you know what? No more half measures. We're buying a new one. And there could be something on sale or available to you right next door that's a more important, that's a flashier and steadier appliance. But you're like, you know what? We have a perfect fridge. Or I know we need a fridge, but we really need this thing. So I look at left tackle that way. I'm sick of watching it be a problem. Fix it. As a result, I look at Travis Hunter and look at him as a luxury item, or at least one that is not as foundational. But as we talked on the pod with Devin, you know, there is a point, regardless of the player, left tackle, his very best play only prevents something from happening during a game. Wide receiver, he might have 3 or 4 plays a game that either move the chains or put points directly on the board. So take my opinion with a grain of salt. Left tackle.
Well, and I was just going to say that's my concern. So, like, if Hunter and Will Campbell are both there when the Patriots pick at 4, my concern is twofold. Number one, they take the left tackle, if he even is a left tackle, in Campbell, because that's a need. And now you're drafting for need and not the best player available, which you're a Super Bowl contender, I'd be fine with. But when you're rebuilding and as bad as the Patriots have been, they need all the good players they can get all over the roster. Mm-hmm. And I have a similar fear with Hunter. If they do draft Hunter, would they push him to the offensive side of the ball as opposed to defense, where they have more depth at corner with Carlton Davis and Christian Gonzalez? Would they feel the need to play that guy at a position of need? So when Vrabel said they were going to let the draft come to them, I feel like they've done the exact opposite, and it's illustrated in that 4th pick.
But you can't orchestrate free agency necessarily. that's why I give him a pass on it. And when I look at,
but they could assign, they could assign somebody at left tackle and somebody at wide receiver. Like they could have done that. Maybe you couldn't get Ronnie Stanley and Chris Godwin.
Yeah, but you're not going to get a good enough one to say, oh my God, well, we don't have to worry about that
but,
now.
But isn't that
God, even if it's Cam Robinson?
But if it was Cam Robinson, or I know you're not a fan of Tyron Smith at least a year ago in free agency, but like guys like that are at least NFL tackles. That would be the definition of letting the draft come to you.
I don't agree. That's all. It's just Tyron Smith played, what, 9 games? He was hurt most of the year. He's hurt the year before. It's just you're going to be right back where you were. Fix it. But all that said, I think the Travis Hunter conversation as it relates to the Patriots is fascinating because you're not going to have a $20 million corner on one side and an all-pro on the other in Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis and then say, here, you can go be our depth corner, Travis. He has to play offense. And I think that would be good for them. You know, you can develop them, but how much of a learning curve would there be in the very particular and detail-oriented Josh McDaniels offense? Or is McDaniels going to be, hopefully and God willing, amenable to saying, you know what, we're going to dumb it down a little bit. We're not going to have a 7,000-page playbook as Tom and I had by the time he was done here. We're going to make it easier for these guys, which I would presume he will probably do. But if you take Travis Hunter, you use him on offense, and then in 3 years when Carlton Davis' contract expires, you say, how about you go play some defense? I know you're a 1,000-yard receiver, but that's why Travis Hunter, the more I think about it, as insistent as I am, I do tell you to take it with a grain of salt, my insistence on left tackle, because the more you think on Travis Hunter, the more impactful he can be in so many different ways.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What was your take on David Andrews' release? It seems like the Patriots took a really weak spot of their team and made it weaker.
I think a lot of folks are looking at it as a little bit heartless and cold the way they did that with a player who has been so good for them, and you know, the guy who would weekly stand up and take the slings and arrows after disappointing losses. I kind of looked at it like this, and this might not have been what David wanted to happen. David, I think, would have been amenable to coming in and saying, I'll earn my spot. I want to try and come back here, and I'm not going to go play someplace else. But I think the Patriots had in their minds kind of moved on in that position and said, you know what, we're going to get younger, we're going to get better at that position. David's 33, and we're not sure when he's going to be available. We got to fix it now. So instead of leading him on, they moved on. And I think that there would have been danger in bringing him back, unless David was able to say, look, I'm not asking for a free ride in here. If I'm playing second team or third team throughout the summer and you move on, then you move on. So I understand their logic. If you're going to move on and you know it, then the right thing to do is not to drag him along through the off season. But I can see how it would be surprising or eye-widening for him and painful.
Your understanding is he still wants to play, though?
I don't know. I think he still wants to play for the Patriots, but I don't know if he wants to play anywhere else. I mean, that's – or still wanted to play for the Patriots. So, I don't know. He's been pretty mum.
You think there's anything to – Brandon Ayuk going circling back to the Niners on a trade for him, and is that something that you would want to do?
I don't know if he's the right kind of guy either. If they're going to pass on, you know, DK Metcalf, Brandon Ayuk kind of solidly said, I don't really want to go there. He is a very good player. He is obviously a player who they could move on from because they're trying to cut salary out in San Francisco so that they can afford Brock Purdy and his contract that's coming up. So maybe here's the thing. Some of these trades can happen later. For instance, the IU trade could happen after June 1st. If the Patriots get into camp and realize we have a good culture here, these guys are making progress. These guys are much more professional. We can take on an Ayuk. Then you can do that, or some other player. But I think that right now, to bring him in, after all you've said about, you know, building it in a simple way, I think you, or in a particular way, not a simple way, then you kind of stick to your guns.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You're a good person to ask about this, Tom. It's been 5 years since Tom Brady left and signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Since that point in time, the Patriots have been to the playoffs once. They got slammed by Buffalo in that game. They're coming off back-to-back four-win seasons. They're on their third head coach. Since that point in time, Drake May is, what, the third or fourth quarterback, depending on how you look at it, since that time. How would you describe these last 5 years since Brady walked out the door?
They've been disastrous, and I think a lot of it traces to the decision to let him walk out the door because once that happened, and the reason Brady left was because the Patriots were holding the door open for him for years. And then by 2019, the summer of that year, when they didn't give him a contract that he wanted to, that pissed him off to an extent where, you know, he said, don't franchise me. I'm not coming back. I want to be a free agent. He started playing footsie with the Dolphins. So you could tell basically that sealed it. But for Brady to be moved on from, with the express logic being, we'll be fine without him. We can replicate what he does. He's the greatest player of all time, but we'll still be fine. Was whistling past the graveyard, and it was there's no other way to avoid it. It was immense hubris and ego to think that he was just another guy, and they did think that. They 1,000,000% thought that. That's why you're giving them at highest $22.5 million against the cap. That was the offer that Bill made to him in the days before Brady made the announcement. Once Brady goes and wins the Super Bowl, that's when all the guardrails went up. That Robert Kraft went through the pain of watching Brady go elsewhere and had all the agitation of Bill and Tom and having to go through it, sides with Bill, and then Brady wins the Super Bowl. That's when all the guardrails went up. That's when Bill started kicking at the reins that were placed on him, which he still complains about to this day. That's when the collaboration came in. That's when, again, they repeat the mistake by not having a succession plan in place for Josh McDaniels. And again, they say, well, what's the worst that can happen? We'll just put people in charge here that are smart football people. We're really good at this job. And then you alienate the young quarterback, or you make him question what's going on. And then you put him into literal exile. So everything flowed from the Brady thing. Everything. And so, it was very, very much an ego situation, in my estimation.
So from, you know, 12 wins in Brady's last year to now back-to-back four-win seasons, there was obviously a ton of missteps along the way. And, you know, they did have a playoff season in there, 10-7 in 2021. I know it's not one thing, but would it be Bill's decision to have Patricia be the offensive coordinator that really sent this thing the most sideways in your mind? Was it just thinking that Mac Jones could do it? Was there one thing that you think really kind of forced it to having to bottom out the way they have over the last 2 years?
Yes, it was the post-Josh plan.
Yeah.
Was absolutely what led to it. And, you know, I think Josh hoped to one day be the successor to Bill here. I think Josh would have liked to have stayed here and not having to go to Las Vegas and begin an insurance that he would be the person to succeed. And if that had happened, for instance, would they have bottomed out that way? Mm-hmm. You know, would they have, if Josh stayed, would Mac Jones still be the starting quarterback beginning to work on his second contract? And would the team have been, you know, able to maintain? I mean, they'd probably still be in at least a Dolphins situation where they're paying too much money to a guy who's not that great at the quarterback position. But what else would they have been able to do? So it's fascinating to think about. But that was the number one thing, was the notion that we'll be fine. What's the worst that can happen? We don't even have to name a play caller all the way through the summer. How's that?
Yeah, not great.
No, not very good at all. He's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tommy Tuesday, every Tuesday, here on Jones and Keefe. You can check out his latest, NBCSportsBoston.com. Patriots 2025 roster reset. He's got a podcast with Devin McCourty. An excellent podcast, according to some, with Devin McCourty. You can hear that. You can watch him all over TV as well. Catch him on WEEI afternoons on Thursday. Tommy Curran, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. That was fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tommy Curran joining us here on Jones and Keith.